I'm not Laura Linney, and this is Not Masterpiece. Tonight, the harrowing story of two men, football, and barbecue. It's the SEC West edition of the AU Wishbone SEC Barbecue Preview.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Flexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, the night has finally arrived. You can smell it probably coming across the airwaves, can't you? What night is it, John?
Smells like barbecue.
It is barbecue. Now, we had the SEC East barbecue episode last week. This week, we are sort of combining two episodes we did last year. We're going to do the entire SEC West, including Auburn. So this is going to be a huge, huge, huge episode.
Holy cow! Oh, my God!
That's exactly right, Rod. It's going to be that kind of an episode. And we are going to just go on right on into it because we got a lot. Actually, I've got one thing, though, John, before we get started. Did you notice today, we're recording this as usual on Monday night. Did you notice today that a bunch of teams announced their starting quarterbacks?
I did notice that.
And I have to point out to you that Georgia, Georgia named Grayson Lambert their starting quarterback. You told me that wouldn't happen. You assured me that would not happen. And all I have to say to you is,
you lied to me. Release the hounds.
I made that special tonight just for you.
Let me say this.
I'll never use that again now. It was a one-shot deal and it's done. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed it.
I'm honored. I have seen Grayson Lambert play multiple times on TV and in person when he was at UVA, and he does not impress me. And the fact that he beat out the other Georgia quarterback should concern them.
Did we just win the Deep South oldest rivalry?
He has to hand off to Chubb and all that stuff, but to me, he's a big step back from some of the guys they've had there recently.
Okay.
He's no Aaron Murray, okay?
Well, Aaron Murray ended up being a pretty darn good quarterback. And Rick, that's the one thing I will say about Rick, if nothing else, and honestly not much else, if nothing else about Rick, I will say he has had a knack of pulling in 3-4 year starting quarterbacks that have been very impressive. He's had like 3 or 4 of them in a row over the last 15 years, so that's pretty good.
I mean, the thing with watching Lambert at UVA, they have another guy who's not nearly as physically talented as him. His last name is like Johns. And, you know, who's much more of like a Chris, you know, Chris Todd or
Brandon Cox.
No. He's not nearly as talented as Brandon Cox. Who's the guy who was there in like 2012? The two guys who shared the job.
Oh, Jonathan I've already forgotten our 5-star quarterback of the future. You mean at Auburn, right? Or do you mean in 12 Georgia? Who are you referring to?
I'm sorry. Clint Mosley and Barrett Trotter in 11.
Okay.
His arm is a little Barrett Trotterish. At this other guy. But you could see when the other guy came in, the team responded.
Mm-hmm.
And they made plays. And multiple times, you know, Lambert got knocked out or was ineffective and they took him out of the game. And this other guy came in and made plays and the team did better. And so that's, you know, my thing about Lambert is I just haven't seen the team respond to him. But way I've seen this respond to this other guy who clearly has less talent than him.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how Georgia does. You know, honestly, by the time we play him, they could have gone through 3 other quarterbacks, you know.
It's true.
So that's one thing about getting Georgia and Alabama at the end of the year is both of them, well, we do too, but both of them get a chance to work out a lot of their kinks. And you can say, well, it also gets time for them to get injured. No, Georgia gets their players injured and then they come back, or they get suspended and then they come back for our game, you know. So that really doesn't enter into it. Well, anyway, that's all neither here nor there. You have other podcasts that tell you the current latest news on starting quarterbacks and recruiting and stuff. We are here to talk about barbecue, to talk about the SEC West. And as we did last week, we will be giving cold, hard numbers of how many wins and how many losses for each team in the SEC West. I have a new set of music this week to go along with our new theme that you just heard. And once again, John does not know what the theme was for this week. So he gets the same pleasant surprise come probably tomorrow afternoon that you guys got when you tuned it in. So that's always fun. All right. So you want to get on into the – do we have anything else before we get into the previews?
No, let's talk about football.
Let's do it. Let's bring Mira in here. And by the way, I got to tell the folks, you know that it is now Monday night. I am less than 3 days away from getting on a plane to Atlanta for the ball game and Dragon Con. Both of my daughters are sick. I am wiping everything down with alcohol. I'm washing my hands every 5 minutes, and I'm living inside a plastic ball. I'm doing this show from a plastic ball in the yard. So I'm terrified.
You're terrified.
I know. I'm gonna. This will 3 years in a row. I've gotten sick on the first day of Dragon Con and been sick the whole weekend. And this is going to be number four. I just know it. My wife's like, "You're making yourself thinking that." I'm like, "Yes, I have the telepathic ability to create bacteria in my respiratory system by negativity." It's amazing how that works, isn't it?
It's impressive.
Let's go to the barbecue. Well, actually, let's go to the team. Who's up first, Mira?
The Alabama Crimson Tide.
Well put, nice. Mira. All right, I know you're probably already eating. That's fine. I'm turning around and getting my tray because I'm having to juggle the microphone, the computer, the soundboard, the food. All right. Oh God, not in the sauce. Wait. What barbecue are you eating tonight, John?
Smoked some barbecue at home yesterday.
I'm eating smoked barbecue too. Mine is from April, but I have it in a vacuum lock, and I put it in the crock pot this afternoon, so it should be nice. just perfect now. It should be perfect. And my sauce is from Corky's in Memphis.
Nice.
Yes. All right. Let us. I know you already have, but let us go to the barbecue.
I do not at all think that music was over the top.
I got to say, I cooked some good barbecue. Nice pulled pork here. I'm accompanying it with some lovely deluxe macaroni and cheese from Costco. And let me just tell you, before you laugh, Costco knows how to make food. They make it huge, gigantic, and delicious. And their macaroni and cheese could feed the Bulgarian army. And it's feeding me currently. And all our listeners are getting to hear us eat, as usual.
Nice.
All right, Alabama. They'd rather hear us eat than talk about Alabama, honestly, but let's do it anyway.
Well, but we need to talk about them.
Let's do it.
All right, so I hate to disappoint everybody, but Alabama's going to be good again. It's not,
It's
not going to come on here and say they're going to be terrible.
I was relying on you to bring them down, man.
No, I'm not saying – let's be clear. They're still not on the same planet as they were as like – 2009, 2010, 2011.
Right.
I mean, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011. Those were the best Alabama teams, you know, we've seen in a while, and we're going to see in a long time. They're several steps down from that.
Right.
And this particular team, everybody wants to talk about Auburn's offensive starters. Alabama only brings back two guys on offense.
That's amazing.
That started. Now, there's a lot of, like Auburn, there's a lot of guys that played. I mean, Henry isn't a starter. Derrick Henry,
who's
clearly going to make a big difference. But the big thing is they've lost all the receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Now I do this thing where I look at like percentage of passing yards lost, percentage of rushing yards lost, percentage of receptions lost, and if you add all those numbers together, Alabama lost the most skill position talent in the SEC this year.
That's awesome.
So I mean, you know they lost Sims, the quarterback, and they haven't named a starter yet, and people are concerned about that. You know, they've lost some talent at running back, but the big loss obviously is Cooper and all the other you know, players who really made a difference in the passing game. But
right. Oh, well, Lord knows. Yes, of course.
You know, Cooper is on another planet from everybody else on that team.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he caught as many – basically, Cooper caught as many passes as everybody else on that team put together.
It seemed like he caught twice as many, but yeah, I believe.
Well, I mean,
that.
In terms of guys that are coming back,
mm-hmm.
You know, let's see. Cooper caught this is amazing. I mean, he led the SEC obviously in receiving. Cooper caught 124 passes. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The top player who's returning in catches is the tight end O.J. Howard. He caught 17.
Holy cow!
Yeah,
that's
so
amazing.
I mean. It's a gigantic hole in their offense, not just because of the volume, but because he was so good. I mean, Cooper really was, you know, maybe the best offensive player in the SEC last year. And, I mean, he killed us in our game, and it wasn't just us. He killed a lot of teams. And, you know, Kiffin fed him the ball and kind of force-fed him the ball at times, but it worked, and his explosiveness and his ability really, you know, made – changed how teams played them defensively, not so much Auburn apparently, but other teams.
Right.
And it opened up a lot of other stuff for them offensively. Now, you know, these other guys coming in, whether it's, you know, Ardarius Stewart or Chris Black or whoever, you aren't quite as scared, you know, Robert Foster, you're not scared of them like you were scared of Cooper. And I think that's going to allow teams to play kind of more, start out playing Alabama much more in kind of a man-to-man, bring everybody in and play the run kind of defense, which would be interesting. And you don't know who they have at quarterback. You don't know, you know, how good they're going to be. And when they start going on the road, you know, that's when that person's really going to get tested. I mean, I think the defense, the front seven of defense is going to be excellent. And I think where that's going to really matter is like when they play the team, this is one of those things that I wanted to talk about before we got into this a little bit. We talked a lot on this podcast about how a lot of times college football is like rock, paper, scissors. And it's not always like one team is better than another team. Sometimes it's like team A can do the thing that team B can't stop.
Right, absolutely.
Team B can do the thing that team C can't stop. And team C can do the thing that team A can't stop. And yes. It doesn't mean that A is better than B is better than C. It means they all beat each other because they all exploit each other's weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, Alabama's real strength is going to be these front seven guys on defense. So the teams that want to play, like, traditional I-formation football and run right at them are going to have problems. So, I mean, like, Arkansas and LSU and Georgia, I think they're going to have their worst games against Alabama. On the other side, you know, with all the losses on offense and the way their secondary has played the last couple of years, I think they're going to have real problems – you know, with us and with Texas A&M and with Ole Miss.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, it is – I think the SEC West as a whole could very much be a rock, paper, scissors kind of thing where some teams can exploit each other's weaknesses and they turn around the next week and play some team that plays a completely different style and you have problems. Because you have these teams like, you know, Arkansas and LSU that want to do more of the – I formation, you know, pound you kind of stuff, and you got to have a bunch of big, heavy defensive players and, you know, play a bunch of old school kind of defensive linemen. And you play a team like Ole Miss that's not even interested in running the ball. And they got a bunch of, you know, great receivers. And if they get good quarterback play, they're going to be tough to stop. And you know, A&M's going to be that way.
John.
John. So then you have to have a completely different set of guys and a different, you know, playing on defense completely from week to week. So that's the thing about the West. I think it's, you know, I don't want to hear any of this stuff about it's the best division in college football or the best division in college football history and that kind of stuff, but it is really balanced. And I think a lot of these teams are going to beat each other week to week. And Alabama is one of those teams. They're not perfect. I think, you know, because teams like Auburn and A&M can go out and score 40 points any given week, I think that's going to be a real problem for them. But I think the one thing about Alabama I read recently that was really, really interesting was by Ian Boyd on SB Nation. He basically wrote the article was about the next evolution of Nick Saban. And he made a really interesting comparison that I hadn't really thought about until I read it. And it really struck with me. And it was, he was talking about the comparison that's often made between like Saban and Bill Belichick and how they both started out and their first titles were kind of won like with defense and run the ball and, you know, close to the vest kind of football and minimal mistakes and that kind of stuff. But over time, they both kind of realized that, you know, what's working in football right now is much more of a wide open offense. And you have to score to beat other teams, and you can't play the way you used to play. So people often think that Saban is like Brett Bielema, and he's not. Saban is much more utilitarian, that he'll do whatever he has to do to win. And if he thinks scoring, you know, outscoring everybody is the way to do it and not playing, you know, defense first, run the ball, then I think that's what he's going to do. And I think we went into this year, like after the bowl game last year, everybody went into this year saying, oh, they're going to have a new quarterback and they got Derrick Henry. You know, they're going to run the ball up the middle, hand it off 40 times and play defense. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to come out and try and be explosive on offense again and maybe even try and play more up-tempo and spread teams out and, you know, try and score 45 points a game.
Yeah, you know, John, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I listen to a lot of football podcasts, a lot of Auburn football podcasts, a lot of SEC, other folks. You don't get that analysis right there anywhere else. Whatever you're paying, and you shouldn't be, whatever you're paying to get our show, you just got your money's worth with that little bit of breaking down Alabama's philosophy and their offense and all that. That was worth the price of admission, and that was awesome. So I congratulate you, sir. Now, a couple of things that occurred to me. One, you're talking about Cooper and how Auburn tried to play him. And my theory was that Auburn, that what Ellis Johnson was doing, he thought, well, you know, I haven't got anybody that can actually cover him, so I'm just going to leave him so completely open that the quarterback will just think, he can't possibly be that open. There must be some secret, you know, guy waiting to intercept it, so I won't throw it to him. And it didn't work. So not a bad idea, but it totally didn't work. That seemed like a plan that Auburn has used on defense a lot over the last few years, which is just totally leave the receivers wide open and just hope that a gust of wind comes through. You know, it's the gust of wind defense. That's what I start calling it. That was an excellent breakdown. And I think you're exactly right, because they're using the play cards now, like we use and like Oregon. That's a good point. They are not putting those play cards in to run the 3 yards in a cloud of dust offense. You don't need them for that.
And they've had media at practice, but they aren't allowed to say anything about what's going on. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to go up tempo and spread the field and do that kind of stuff. And I think they're going to use Kenyon Drake a lot, like Kiffin used Reggie Bush when he was at USC, and get him the ball in space and stuff. And he's going to be their version of Cooper this year in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's right. I hate that we had to spend that much time on Alabama, but I think it was worthwhile, though, is the dang thing about it.
Sure. It was, you know,
so I never got to report on the barbecue. You know, when I tasted that barbecue about 30 minutes ago, I immediately awarded myself 15 barbecue national championships. That's how good my barbecue
you
is tonight.
Put some blue ribbon stickers on your smoker.
Oh man, yeah, it's got a great reputation. I'm not sure it's going to be all that this year, but like you say, they certainly may be trying a different sauce a little bit, smoking it a different way. I do believe that this barbecue got shredded pretty good late last year. It got shredded bad late last year. So it will be interesting to see if they go with the more the chopped or the chunked or whatever whatever you want to call it this year. But anyway, so did you have any impressions? I mean, was it the barbecue that revealed all that insight to you?
Absolutely.
That's amazing. See, people, this is what I'm talking about. You doubt the power of the barbecue, and then you see something like that and you realize the truth. All right.
I got another one for you. Ready?
Yeah.
I remember we talked on the last podcast in the East about offensive line starts returning, and and in the East the average was a little bit more, is about 80, but in the West the average is about 68 or so.
Yeah,
from all the teams put together, Alabama has 40.
That seems kind of in the middle, maybe.
Well, it's the second lowest.
Second lowest. All right. Yeah,
so
I guess
just saying, a lot of starters back on offense. It's going to take them a while to get together on offense and play consistently. So, again, like an early – let's take a look at their schedule, shall we?
We need to give our numbers before we move on. We're halfway through the show and we've done one team, so yeah.
Let's give some numbers. What do you think?
I have them 9-3, and I'm very happy about that.
Wow. I'm going to say 10-2.
10-2. I don't have it in front of me. I'm woefully unprepared here. I'm doing
all right.
I'm multitasking 50 other things.
Well, let me throw this at you. Here's their road games, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, the only non-conference team they play is Wisconsin, and they're going to kill them.
I'm bringing it up now.
Yeah. Their road games are Georgia.
Yeah.
At Texas A&M.
Yeah.
At Mississippi State and Auburn. But listen to the stretch in the middle, okay? Here's October. At Georgia, Arkansas at home, at A&M, Tennessee. Then LSU,
then Mississippi State. Yeah, I mean, that's why I got them losing three games, just because, I mean, you know, they could lose to Ole Miss, depending on how things go, although I kind of doubt it. They did last year, though. But I just feel like they're going to lose two of those four: Georgia, Arkansas, Texas A&M, Tennessee, LSU. They're going to lose two of those. They're not going to lose to Mississippi State. And then they're going to lose to us. So that's why I mean, it'll probably be more 11-1, 10-2, I guess. But I got them at 9-3, and I'm sticking with it.
All right. I'm fine with that.
All right. Shall we go on to the next one?
Let's do it.
All right. Let me, Mira, who's up next?
The Arkansas Razorbacks.
The team that is made for barbecue. Let us go to that barbecue. Now, that's real barbecue.
Yep. That's some pig right there. I love pig.
But it's tough. It's meaty. It weighs about 380 pounds across the front. It's pounding away at my taste buds right now.
Got some heft to it. Comes right at you. There's no subtlety to that flavor.
It's wearing a red tracksuit. And it hates me. It hates me, John. This pig hates me.
Well, you're getting the last laugh on it.
I am, yes. I've dubbed, I don't remember if I did it on the air, but I have dubbed their stadium the Smokehouse. It just makes sense, right?
I like it.
Yeah. And they seem to have gotten the Smokehouse in order. And it's not quite the easy dining experience it once was. And I'm a little bit concerned about the ramifications of biting off too big of a piece of this big, large, greasy, heavy, weighty barbecue. What are you feeling and seeing? I got to have another bite of that, man. What are you feeling?
Let me ask you something first.
Yeah.
How many SEC games did Arkansas win last year? Everybody's darling, the team that came on strong at the end of the year and was on fire. How many SEC games did they win?
You're not going to like my prediction then if you feel.
No, I'm asking a question about how many did they win last year?
Maybe two.
Two. They won two.
Okay.
So I'm not saying that matters, but I'm saying like they got a lot of press for winning two SEC games, okay? And their East teams this year are Tennessee and Missouri. You know, and Tennessee's on the road.
Yep.
Okay. And Tennessee is on the road in the middle of a stretch that goes A&M on a neutral site.
Yeah.
At Tennessee, at Alabama, week off, home Auburn.
That's a stretch.
So, they're going to have some problems there.
Sure.
You know what? I think they're going to be really good at doing what they did last year, running the ball straight ahead of people.
Yeah.
I've said before they've lost their offensive coordinator, and I think they hired a good guy, but there's no guarantee their offense clicks the way it did down the stretch, and they just lost their big tailback the other day, Jonathan Williams, the injury. So
that's a big thing. That tempered my numbers a little bit. I gave him a loss just for that.
Yeah. I mean, he's really good. And, you know, Alex Collins is a highly recruited guy who's good, but he hasn't been as effective with the ball.
Yeah.
As Williams, and he's fumbled a lot. So,
yeah.
I think they have the toughest schedule of anybody in the West. I think that's one thing. I mean, they not non-conference, they play like Texas Tech and Toledo and stuff. But
UTEP and Toledo, yeah.
And Texas Tech. is at home, but they're going to kill them. But, you know, playing all the good West teams.
It's in the smokehouse.
Well, and then again, late in the season, they have they have this stretch in November, okay? At Ole Miss, at LSU, Mississippi State at home, Missouri at home.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's a tough way to end the season. That's a very old kind of Auburn amen corner end of the season.
Right, it is.
So.
It's a tough row to hoe. But
so I just think over the course of the season, they're going to get worn down. And I think they've lost a lot of guys in their defensive line that are really good. Let's go back and hurt them some.
Give me a number.
I'm going to say they go 8-4.
9-3. Same okay. as Alabama.
All right.
And in fact, they may even beat Alabama. Now, if they had both of their running backs, I would definitely have them beating Alabama. I just was so impressed with how they played at the end of the year. And I realize now it's not the same thing as when a team looks good in a bowl and so you basically predict.
No, they got better over the course of the season.
Yes, they did.
And they have. And the other part is I love this. I mean, he's a jerk or whatever, and he's great to be this villain, but they know who they are.
They do.
And you know what you're going to get when you play them.
I got to say, just when I was warming up to Burt, and I don't even have a Burt sound effect on here. What a shortcoming on my part.
It sounds.
I'll get that taken care of. I'll get that corrected. But, yeah, that just when I was warming up to him, I said nice things about him on the air. And then he goes and says what he says. That's fine. It's just reminding me he's not Les Miles. He's never going to be Les Miles. And, you know, that's for you, Bert. All right. I've had enough of Arkansas. I do think they're going to have a very good year. I agree that it may not be quite as good as what some people think, but I think they're going to do quite well in the SEC West. I think they're going to do much better than they did last year. You ready to go on to the Bayou Bengals?
Bring it.
I believe. Let's see. Mira?
The LSU Bengal Tigers.
All right. I'm going to get me some pulled pork here, baby, and some extra macaroni and cheese that tastes like corn dog. The magic is back, John. The magic is in the streets.
I'm not buying that.
What are you tasting?
I'm tasting, you know, it's like a good restaurant that used to be better a couple years ago, and now they've kind of gradually gotten worse over time.
I hear you.
Man, I wish it was like it was back then, but it's not. It's not coming back.
They're on a downward slide. They've been down every year since 2011. Lower, either the same or lower. They haven't had an up year since 2011. In their record.
Yeah, I'm not excited about that.
See, now, right off the bat, it tastes like something Emeril would create. Boom! There's another boom. It's got a mixture of Cajun spices, corn dogs, and moon pies. It's just kind of odd, right?
Mm-hmm.
It used to be kind of tough, but it sure did taste delicious to me last year. It was tender.
A fine meal. Some etouffee last year.
Here's my observation of LSU. LSU has basically become 1985 Auburn. Okay, good defense, a lot of speed, great running game, big back, and that's about it. How many games did the 1985 Auburn Tigers win, John? I know. I'll tell you. They won 8. How many games did LSU win last year? They won 8. How many will LSU win this year? They're going to win 8.
7.
Whoa! You're putting Les on the hot seat.
I am.
Mm.
Listen, the West is brutal. Somebody's got to finish lower.
Wow.
I think... we'll get to when in the end we'll talk about the big picture. But to me, you know, they're fighting to stay out of the cellar.
Wow. Now, here's the thing. And you explain this to me if you can. LSU is the team in the West that I have seen all over the map.
Mm-hmm.
Some people
I
have
saw
them
Herb Street and then picked them to go to the playoffs.
I know, first or second in the West. I'm like, what? Other people have them like next to last or last. I'm like, what? I think they're a upper middle. I think, to me, out of seven teams, I've got them about fourth, honestly. About fourth.
That's fair.
So 8-4 is what I've got them in the regular season. And off to some mediocre bowl game. Probably like, well, maybe, I don't know. But what you got them 7-5. Let's look at their schedule, all right? They're going to beat Miss McNeese. They got Mississippi State and Auburn back-to-back. But they got us down there in the swamp.
In a day game.
That helps. Then they got Syracuse, who cares? Eastern Michigan, who cares? South Carolina, they have a chance to win that. Florida, they got a chance to win that. Western Kentucky, they got a chance to win that. So let me go through here. And then they got Alabama, Arkansas, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. They got a heck of an ending.
Yeah, see, I think we're going to beat them, honestly.
Okay.
And I think they, you know, the Mississippi State game is a toss-up to me.
So 7-1 going into November.
The second week at them at Mississippi State, I think they could, I mean, that one's a 50-50. And then you go into November, and I think they could go, I could easily see them go 0-4 in November at Alabama, Arkansas at home, at Ole Miss, A&M.
They could.
I could see them go, they could be in contention, and they go 0-4 in November. I just think to win the West – with the way the teams are now, you're gonna have to score 35 points,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think they're gonna be able to play defense and hold all offenses like Auburn's and A&M's down, and especially with losing Chavis. So, their starting safety that's so good, Mills, is out for the first few weeks. He's out for our game. That's a big deal. He was like an all-SEC pick. So, They'll be better at on offense. The quarterback will be better. The receivers will be better. But I think the defense takes a step back, and they don't score enough points to keep up with some of these teams.
I think the best they do in November is 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the ceiling for this team, the ceiling is 9-3. Let's say they drop one of the early ones between Mississippi State and Auburn. They lose to either us or Mississippi State. And let's say they lose to Alabama and either Arkansas or A&M or Ole Miss one. I mean, so that's 9-3 at best. You got to think that the seat's getting a little warm, isn't it? Even at that.
It seems like it to me, but we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Moving on, let's see. So you got 7-5, I got 8-4. Let us see who is up next. Mira?
The Ole Miss Rebel, Black Bear, Admiral Akbars.
Hey, she did that really well, didn't she?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to the barber. Go! John, this barbecue is a total mystery to me. I guess you could say it has blindsided me. I can't tell what's going on. I think I'm over it. I know it's been frozen at least.
Stop.
I'm not big on putting barbecue through the freeze process and then trying to eat it. I think this was actually smoked by Sandra Bullock. I'm also pretty darn sure that... Yeah.
I was going to say, do you feel like you should be eating it on a white tablecloth?
With a candelabra. And Liberace. Man, I got to tell you what. That macaroni and cheese goes a long way towards salvaging reheated barbecue. I'm telling y'all, Costco macaroni and cheese. Go get it. Comes in a big pan. Heat it up in the oven. It's fantastic. They got to write me a check now. All right. What are you feeling? I just went through my little litany of things that Ole Miss barbecue did for me. What are you feeling with the bar? I gotta get some lemonade. Tell us what you're feeling.
They have one big. Well, let me say this: they have two big glaring question marks to me.
Mm-hmm.
If those question marks get answered in a decent way, I think they're going to be really good.
And that is, okay. Will Admiral Akbar be their mascot? Right. And what's the other one?
Who will the quarterback be? Is he going to be any good? And then also, can they run the ball better than they did last year? You and I have beat this into the ground, but they're soft. I mean, they don't run the ball well. They're a finesse run team. And You can't win the West doing that. So, you know, they've recruited some bigger running backs. They've talked about their problems with it. We'll see. You know, and Bo Wallace is gone. He was good at times and he was terrible at times, but he made a lot of plays for them in big games. So, you know, the guy who replaces him, they named today, it's going to be that Chad Kelly guy who transferred from, who went from Clemson to a junior college to Ole Miss. And they think he has a lot of talent. He's going to be really good.
That's old Bill Kelly's son, right?
Is it?
Jim, I think it is. It's Jim Kelly's. I was just calling him Bill Kelly because I've said before that.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, go ahead.
Anyhow, if he's good, then I think Ole Miss is going to be – let's put this. They have the most starters back in the West. They have the most offensive line experience in the West by a lot.
Wow.
They have the easiest schedule in the West.
Wow. I got to flip that over here. Go ahead, yeah.
So, I mean, their East teams are Vanderbilt and Florida, and I think Florida's going to suck.
God.
Okay?
Did you read Spencer Hall's you sent it to me, right?
Yeah.
His season preview? Every time Florida came up, he's like, oh, Toledo gets a break this week. They play Florida, you know, or something like that.
They play nobody out of conference. They play like Memphis is their toughest out of conference game. Okay.
Wow.
And so, I mean, I think that recruiting class, the Candice recruiting class with Tunsil and Treadwell and those other guys, they're all juniors. A bunch of them are going pro after this year. They know this is their one shot to do it. And I think, you know, they have experience, they have talent, they have the easiest schedule in the West, they have a lot of offensive line talent. If they get good quarterback play, to me, this is the team in the West besides Auburn and Alabama that I would worry about. I mean, A&M has some talent on offense, but Ole Miss, I think, is going to be, again, really good on defense, and I think they're going to be really good on offense, too. So this is the team, I think, in the West that I worry about the most besides Alabama.
This is one of the triumvirate, along with us and Mississippi State, of teams that didn't do squat last year after November the 1st.
No, they
beat Mississippi State, right?
They had excuses. I mean, with the Treadwell injury, and they had some other guys go out. So I think, again, they have a lot of talent and experience back on offense. If the quarterback plays well, I think they're going to be really, really good. So,
all right, give me a number for Ole Miss. I've got my number.
10-2.
Wow. Oh.
Oh, my God. Holy cow. God.
Well, stop. They're not – I mean, they went 9-4 last
year. You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
They went 9-3 last year in the regular season, okay? It's a one-game improvement. One-game improvement. They have an easier schedule, okay? And, you know – let's go through it. You tell me where the losses are.
All right. I've got them 8-4. Here we go. UTM, the University of Trademarks, 1-0. Fresno State, 2-0. Alabama, 2-1. Vanderbilt, 3-1. Florida, 4-1. It's hard to just take Florida as an easy win, but New Mexico State, 5-1. Memphis, 6-1. Texas A&M.
In Oxford.
Yes. All right, I'll go 7-1. Auburn, 7-2. Arkansas, 7-3. And then either LSU or Mississippi State, 7-4, 8-4.
I think they're going to beat
both of them?
I think Arkansas might get them just because of the style difference. But I think they're going to beat LSU and Mississippi State.
Wow. All right. You have more confidence in Hughes' little crowd there than I do, that's for sure.
Well, it's a mistake. Again, the softest thing worries me.
Yeah.
And it may, again, turn out to be a rock, paper, scissors thing where they're really good,
mm-hmm.
you know, against the Auburns and A&Ms and Mississippi State kind of teams, and they, you know, get smashed like a grape against Alabama and A&Ms.
Right.
I mean, Alabama and Arkansas. So,
all right. Cross the – a little bit further north – oh, let me type it in here. There we go. Mira. Oops, wrong way. There's Match Game. Hey, Match Game. That was cool. Hey, Mira, who's up? We've only got three left to go. Here we go.
The Mississippi State Bulldogs.
All right. Mississippi State, John. Let us go to barbecue. Now, this tastes to me like most of the good parts are missing. There's just one decent bite, and the rest is kind of bland.
It's kind of a one note.
Mm-hmm.
One note barbecue.
One note barbecue.
Mm-hmm.
What you got? I'm going to get some macaroni and cheese while you explain.
Tasted a lot better last year. Now, remember on this podcast last year, I talked about how much I like Mississippi State because their experience.
Mm-hmm.
They had all the seniors on defense.
Yeah.
And they had a good defensive coordinator. Good defensive coordinator left. Experience left. Experience on offensive lines gone.
Seniors left.
Yeah. It's Dak Prescott and a bunch of guys. You know, Deronia Wilson's back, and he's good, but I think this team is going to resemble some of those Eli Manning Ole Miss teams where the quarterback's running around making plays and, you know, trying to create everything, and he's not getting a lot of help. And, you know, they may score a bunch on some teams, and they may get, you know, annihilated in some games where they can't protect him and nobody can get open or whatever. So, I think they take a big step back. This is a team, again, who won after Alabama, who won the most games in the SEC in this division last year? Mississippi State. And they were number one in the conference in offense.
Well, you went through a couple of weeks ago and told us just how amazing their offense was, which totally blindsided me.
But, you know, now it's a different story. They've lost a bunch of guys. They got four starters back on offense, three on defense.
Yeah.
They have the least amount of offensive line experience in the conference. I mean, in the West, and maybe, you know, outside of Florida in the SEC as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And the schedule's not super tough, but it's tougher.
Yeah.
They had everything kind of lined up for them last year.
It really did. All right. Well, give me a number.
7-5.
I'm looking at their schedule right now, and I've got 6-6.
Right.
We've been pretty close on most of these, except old freaking Miss, but otherwise. Yeah, they'll beat Southern Miss. LSU's kind of a toss-up. They'll beat Northwestern State Trade School for the Blind. They're going to lose to us. They're probably going to lose to TAMU. They'll beat Troy. They'll beat Louisiana Tech. They'll beat Kentucky. Missouri, probably lose. Yeah, lose to Alabama, lose to Arkansas, lose to Ole Miss. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, they could even win. They could even go 5-7 with that schedule if everything bounces the wrong way.
Yeah,
their floor is 5, I think.
Mm-hmm. And they could jump up and beat one of those good teams, and they have a great day or whatever. But I just think they're, you know, the margins in the West are very small between these teams. And they had a lot of edges last year in experience and depth and talent stuff. And those guys aren't there.
Yeah.
I mean, Preston Smith was a great pass rusher. And Bernardrick McKinley was a really great middle linebacker. And those guys are gone. So, and the running back, Robinson, was so key for them, is gone. You know, can they keep Prescott healthy? Teams can be, you know, really keen on him, trying to hit him a lot and stuff. And so it's going to be, I think it's going to be a step back for them. They're going to, you know, have to have enjoyed last year while they had it. So,
and that was their one big, you know, they had like a 1940-something year where they won the SEC. I think everybody else was off fighting World War II, and so they won the SEC by a one-team conference maybe. I'm probably being unfair to Mississippi State, but and that was their other year. I mean, they got to be number one for a few weeks. That must have been pretty awesome for Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Ah, that lemonade's good. All right, we got one more team that we don't care about to go, and then one team we do. So let's see the last one alphabetically in the West.
The Texas A&M Aggies.
Ah, the team who shares a nickname with my high school. Let us go to the Furry Barbecue. I was afraid of this. I'm running out of sauce. That's not good. Well, this is interesting. It's not bad. John, are we sure we're not eating collie?
Oh, ow.
Is this smoked collie I'm eating?
I was going to say it's a Texas school, so it should be beef.
Ah, you're right. Well, it makes me want to get up at midnight and just yell. They actually tenderized this pork by yelling at it at midnight. And I'm guessing it actually, if it were beef, it would actually be made of Bevo.
That'd be nice.
All right. Well, Texas, oh, I got some macaroni and cheese. So while I get my macaroni and cheese, tell me what you're seeing going on in the barbecue for Texas A&M. Oh, so good.
I mean, a lot of people made the parallels with Auburn, with A&M.
Yes.
You know, an offensively strong team that, you know, is probably going to be better on offense this year. And then a team that got, you know, got a huge upgrade, a defensive coordinator, and they have some core talent on defense. I think the difference is that
they fired a defensive coordinator that's such an upgrade that he gave up 41 points to Auburn last year.
Yeah, but I mean, that was a lot of the problem was their offense was sucky. The defense would, you know, didn't help them, but
no.
But, you know, Chavis was at his best against them, actually.
Yeah.
You know, at LSU. And he's going to make them better on defense.
That's true. You're absolutely right. He did kind of have Sumlin's number, didn't he?
He did. And he's going to make them better on defense. But, I mean, the difference is that Auburn was actually – people have blacked all this out now with the Iron Bowl in their mind in the bowl game. But Auburn, the first half of last season, was actually competent on defense. I mean, go back and watch that Kansas State game again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, go back and watch some of those other the early games. That LSU game, Auburn's defense played well in those games.
Absolutely.
On the other end of the spectrum, you know, in SEC games, Texas A&M allowed 509 yards a game and 6.8 yards per play, and those are the worst numbers I can find in SEC history. they were 111th in the country in rushing defense. Okay.
Man.
So, you know, it's.
And this is a team that we lost to. I just want to remind everybody of that.
So
at home.
That's right. So,
God.
What I'm saying is, I think, you know, Auburn had periods of competence on defense last year, and they have a lot of talent, and they're getting, you know, Walson back and adding Byron Coward and all that, and Countess and Matthew. So it's clear that with Muschamp and that talent and the new guys and the freshmen, you know, that Auburn's defense can be better, but and A&M's defense is going to be better, but it may just go from sucky to mediocre, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's not going to be enough to take them where some people want to go. Now, maybe 2 years from now, I can see a situation where, you know, this quarterback is a, you know, a very experienced player, Miles Garrett's a junior. They got a bunch of talent around him and they win the West with this situation. You know, not this year, but a year from now. But I think this fall they're going to be better, but it's not going to be enough.
Yeah. That made me think, by the way, that our team last year, our team, Auburn, was, we were really two plays away from being a 10-3 team. You know that?
Yeah, we were.
If we had, we might not have the defensive coordinator we have right now.
I thought about that.
So, yeah, maybe we'd be thankful for our misfortune. What number are you divining from the Texas A&M barbecue? Because I'm wondering if this is going to be another one of those where we're wildly different.
I'm going to say 9-3.
Ha ha. All right. I have their sort of their baseline numbers, 7-5.
That's fair.
I have the potential to maybe get to 8-4, and if things bounce the right way, 9-3. But here's when I go down the schedule, because they've got several that are just really puzzlers, because you don't know what to expect from them, and you don't know what to expect from some of these. They could lose to Arizona State.
Well, that's upset. Of all the SEC teams, they played the toughest team the first week, the toughest non-conference team. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and maybe the toughest non-conference team anybody plays all year. I mean, other than, you know, maybe Florida State.
Right.
Clemson, I think at Clemson, Arizona State, a neutral field, I'd probably take Arizona State right now. So, you know, I think they're really good, Arizona State is, and if A&M loses, doesn't mean that A&M sucks and they're not going to do anything in the West. So that should be a really fun, entertaining game, too. I'm looking forward to that. The game should be about – but, you know, here's the thing about A&M, though, that some people – the point people made, their teams from the East are Vandy and South Carolina. Okay, yep. Other than Arizona State, they don't play anybody else out of conference. And, you know, the Arkansas game is in a neutral site. So, I mean, here's their road games, okay?
Yeah.
At Ole Miss, at Vandy, at LSU.
It could be worse.
That's it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't like Ole Miss. Could this team go in there and beat him? I definitely think this team could go in and beat Vanderbilt, and I think they could go in and outscore LSU. So they get Auburn and Alabama at home.
Yeah, they've got a schedule that breaks their way, no doubt about it.
So
I just wanted to point out, by the way, while we're talking about Arizona State, I think Arizona State deserves bonus points for the next 10 years just for changing from possibly the worst uniforms in major college football, big power conferences, to some of the better ones. I thought that their old uniforms were just horrible, just eyesores. And so the thing they've got now with the black and with a little pitchfork and everything, it's not great, but it's just so much better than what they used to have. So
it's kind of cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I looked through this thing. They could lose to Arizona State. Then they got a couple of wins. They go, like you say, Arkansas on neutral site. That's tough. They got Mississippi State at home. They got Alabama at home. They go to Ole Miss. I mean, there's just so many toss-ups here. We're just going to have to know more about them. And honestly, we never know that much about Texas A&M because they're schizophrenic from one game to the next within the same season. I mean, if you'd looked at like the first two or three games of last season, you'd say they were in the playoffs.
Yeah, but I think they're going to run the ball better this year. I think they're going to play defense better, and I think the quarterback's more experienced in it. They have a lot of talent at receiver. This is going to be, you know, if you have a team in the West that has a bad secondary, you have no chance against them.
Wow.
So
that's true.
You know, you better get good pass rush, and you better have good secondary, and you better be able to score points. You can't beat at this team, you know, 14-13. So.
Watching Gus and Muschamp trying to shore up our secondary, it reminds me of Tommy Tuberville back in the early 2000s doing everything he could to find a way to stop Florida's passing game.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, finally. He absolutely did. He just had to go out and get the right athletes that could play defensive back and could compete with those Florida receivers. It didn't hurt that their receivers were on the kind of the downslide by then anyway, but... So you got them 9-3. I got them between, didn't you say 8-4, 9-3? Which one did you say?
I said 9-3.
9-3. Okay. We got quite a log jam at the top of the SEC West, don't we? I mean, we've got everybody kind of at a between 8-4 and 9-3. And you had Alabama like 10-2 maybe?
Yep.
So we kind of got a log jam there. There's one team left to go. We're doing them out of order because last and greatest. And so let us go to the last team to talk about tonight.
The Auburn Tigers. Yay!
All right. Let us go to the glorious, glorious War Eagle Barbecue. Oh! You got an extra helping. Oh. I'm just going to keep eating. It's good. This barbecue makes me think about driving or flying to Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
After a quick stop in Atlanta and wherever the semifinal is. Mm, so keep eating.
And it's got some hints of, you know, older Auburn teams where the defense is actually better.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is man's barbecue. It stands tall in the pocket and delivers a good downfield. It stops that opponent with hard-nosed effort. I wonder if we will find any better barbecue than that this year. No, no. What do you say? We've talked a tremendous amount about Auburn over the last couple of months. What do we have left to say that needs to be said before we deliver the verdict on the Auburn Tigers in 2015?
Well, let me talk about a couple of things I think are going to be different this year before we even have the verdict, okay?
Yes.
I think, you know, the number one thing, obviously, is the defense. Getting Muschamp, Tavarius Robinson in there, different coaches, a different way of coaching defense. One of the big things, if you go back and watch all the games last year, as a team, Auburn made a lot of mistakes.
Oh, kidding.
They were, penalties, missed assignments, guys lining up wrong, guys blowing coverages. That happened multiple times per week in every game. Turned the ball over in the first play of the game.
Oh.
And I think having Muschamp there and having his intensity and the way they coach defense, the accountability is going to be much better on defense. Guys aren't going to be blowing their assignments as much, making mistakes. And if they make mistakes, it's going to be because they're going 100 miles an hour, not because, you know, they're standing around and letting some guy run by them.
Right.
So, you know, I think getting Lawson back and adding Coward to stuff, the pass rush is going to be 10 times better than it was last year. You go back and watch the games, like the – go back and watch that terrible A&M game or the Mississippi State game, and they stood in the pocket forever.
Oh, yeah.
At times. It was forever. Horrible. And I think with much horrible. Better pass rush, it's going to allow the secondary to be more aggressive. And I think the secondary is going to be better. I think – you know, adding Countess and Matthews is going to make a huge difference. And then adding the freshman is going to add a big element too. So I think the defense is going to be much better. And I think, you know, with the offense is still going to be as potent as it was last year or in different ways, but still, you know, 40 points a game on anybody kind of potent. I think the other thing you and I talked about before is the special teams were bad last year. They were a weakness. The punting was bad. We had a couple of games where we had huge errors in special teams where we were turning points. The Texas A&M game,
ugh.
You know, the block field goal return for a touchdown was a titanic.
So many mental mistakes in that game.
And then against Georgia, we fumbled a punt. You know, Bray had a great year, but against Georgia, he fumbled a punt at our end of the field. And Georgia took it in for a touchdown after, you know, we had stopped them and we were getting the ball back. We immediately turned around and gave them the ball back at the end of the field. And there was, you know, that happened. We didn't have any huge plays at kickoff returns, which has been something we've kind of got spoiled by. We just think we're going to roll out there and we're going to be the best team in the country at kickoff returns, but we just didn't. So, you know, that all those things I think are going to be better. I think Auburn's kickoff returns are going to be much better. So, let me ask you this. What place was Auburn in the SEC in kickoff return yardage last year?
Oh, gosh. I don't remember much great about it, so I'm going to say 10th.
We're 11th.
Wow. Even worse.
Conference games, we were 12th.
Ooh.
So.
That's crazy.
You know.
How can that even happen?
Well, that's what I'm saying. We've become spoiled. Every other year we've been in the top two or three, and I think people just assume we're going to roll out there and be good at it. We weren't last year. So I think that's the thing that's going to improve. I think the punting is going to be a lot better. And I think you know, the kicking will be better because he isn't punting and kicking.
Right.
And I think, again, eliminate some of those mistakes, and that'll make a big difference. And I think, you know, I think Johnson's going to have a gigantic year. I wrote my little – article and sent to the War Eagle Reader projecting his stats for the season. And I think he's going to have a huge, huge year. And I think, you know, the defense is going to hold other teams down. You're going to have to score, you know, we saw last year, if you're going to beat Auburn, you got to score a lot of points. And I think a defense is going to keep teams from doing that.
So. Yeah. Last year you could was the difference. This year, I don't think they're going to be able to score a lot of points.
That's
absolutely
right.
All right. Well, yeah, I'll just add real quick that, you've been doing such great analysis tonight. I really haven't had to add a whole lot, but I appreciate that. That's good. Let me be lazy tonight and just hit buttons. But, yeah, I just feel like people that look at this team and say they don't have many people coming back or, oh, they've changed one or two things, they really don't realize. We've talked about this before. It's not just that we're adding new players in the defense. We're adding seasoned players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're adding a freshman All-American back into the defensive line. We're adding the number one player in the entire country recruit on the defensive line or thereabouts. We're adding an all Big Ten defensive back on one side. We're adding a whatever Matthews was at Georgia. You know, he was
like a freshman all SEC.
Yeah, adding him in there too. I mean, every player just about that we're adding on defense, plus those really highly regarded freshmen that are supposed to be pretty good. The players we're adding on defense, these are not rookies for the most part. These are players that know what they're doing. And I mean, how anybody can say, "Oh, Auburn had problems in the secondary," and oh yeah, they've added a couple of new people. No. I mean, the defense is going to – we've kept what worked and added more.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I feel very, very good about it. And I also have something to say in my quick little factoid in a minute when we get to it to the end. So, about that. So, sort of deliver the judgment on these Auburn Tigers. And I know that our audience is just anxious to hear your number for the Auburn Tigers. We waited all offseason for this, John. No pressure. No pressure, but we waited all offseason for this.
11-1.
Well, you know, I know there's a loss in there. I know there's a loss in there somewhere. I don't think it's before October 24th. The trendy pick is that it will be Arkansas. I think it could be Arkansas. I don't like our matchup with Arkansas this year. I know that last year we were able to kind of throw the ball on them pretty well, and Nick ran on them late. But I don't like our matchup because it seems like Gus's biggest – tell me if I'm wrong here. It seems to me when things are going normal, I mean, not like A&M last year or whatever, but in a normal situation the last 2 years, it seems like we struggle the most when we go up against teams that are big and heavy and run – and pound away with a big running back, and then our offense kind of fizzles, it seems like, in those games. I'm thinking about Mississippi State last year. I'm thinking about LSU 2013. It just seems like this is the kind of game. Plus, of course, the Hog Hex we've talked about for years.
We don't play our best football up there.
No, we don't, in the smokehouse. And then, you know, there's that, I mean, Texas A&M, Georgia, Alabama, even Ole Miss is going to be tough.
They are. We get Ole Miss at home. I mean, I think the two most likely losses, I think, again, are Arkansas and A&M, just because when, you know, people forget this every year and have to relearn it every year. The hardest thing is winning on the road in the SEC.
Yeah.
And it's a gigantic difference. It's not, you know, whatever Las Vegas has, 3 points worth of difference. It's a gigantic level of difference playing people at home versus on the road. Mm-hmm. And that's why schedule is so important. And so that's why I think those two games are the most likely.
One of the sports major guys I've listened to in the last week or so, it may have been one of the guys on the Audible, had Auburn losing two games, but beating Alabama and still getting in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if you could lose the SEC West, not even play in Atlanta, and still get the playoffs. I guess if you beat Georgia and Alabama and they have a big enough record, then that would be enough to maybe make an argument.
No, that's Stuart Mandel's thing where he has them be getting in as like a wild card. Yeah. They're like 10-2 and they
– their only loss is to A&M and
– and like A&M and Arkansas or whatever, and they beat Georgia and Alabama and, you know, don't go to Atlanta, but at the end of the year they're – one of the teams that gets under consideration for the playoff.
Yeah, I guess that could happen, but I just don't see a 10-2 team. I just don't see that happening. There'd have to be carnage. It'd have to be 2007 again for that to happen. Where I have got Auburn. I mean, my head. I've learned my lesson with you people out there, by the way. I tried being realistic a couple of years ago, and all I got was grief. So I got to tell you, my head says 10-2. There's another part of my head that says 11-1. Forget that. We're going 12-0. 12-0. 12-0.
Holy cow. Oh, my God. Oh, this is a big one. Get out, Elizabeth. I'm coming to join you, honey.
There you go. There you go. All right. All right, we survived. Let's see. I'm curious to hear what our listeners think about that. Now, we're woefully over time, so let's get in our last couple of things. We're not doing listener questions this time. Let me very quickly get my
factoid of the week.
Factoid of the week.
And all I want to say about the factoid is simply this. If you out there are nervous, your knees are knocking because there are high expectations for Auburn this year, then understand one thing. There is no curse on Auburn in years when we have high expectations. Every single time that something like that has happened, it's been for very specific reasons and different ones every year pretty much. We're not losing our top player this year. We're not losing our top coach or anything. We're actually adding top players and adding top coaches. And so there is every reason to be optimistic, and there is no reason to be scared. There you go. What do you think of that?
I think that's fair. I mean, I've talked about this. I think Auburn upgraded on defense, and I think some of these other teams that changed coordinators are going to have issues. I think some of the other teams, I mean, you know, which team in the West lost the best offensive player in the conference? Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, so I think Auburn's going to be in good shape. I think they're going to be really, really great on offense, very different on offense, but still – you know, still able to run the ball well, but I think the passing game is going to take everything to another level, and I think the defense is going to be good enough.
I agree. I'm still eating my macaroni and cheese. I'm enjoying it so much and agreeing. All right, did we have any last little features? I'm trying to think if we had anything else on the agenda.
No, other than I wanted to say something. Last week we talked about, you know, places we've read about football, and we didn't mention, you know, things like, you know, Jerry Hennett or College of Magnolia or things like that, which is silly, but we'd have oversight on our part. But
right. Yeah, I had a little interaction with Jerry this afternoon, as a matter of fact. John, I got to point out, my bowl is empty. My plate is clean. That's a first that we, as long as we've been doing this, first time I actually ate it all. I ate it all.
Nice.
My plate is clean. My plate is as spotless as Auburn's loss record is going to be this year. Zero. Nothing there. That's right.
It's a sign.
It is. All right. Well, before our wives kill us, let's wrap this sucker up and bring it in for a landing. Don't forget, this is our last episode before the season starts. I'm going to have to really hurry and get it put together on Tuesday sometime during the day. It'll be up Tuesday afternoon. And I'm be off to Dragon Con on Thursday, so I hope to see some of you either at Dragon Con or at the football game on Saturday, you guys. So, John, let's wrap it up. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.